This reading can be taken from John chapter 20, verses 26 to 31. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning, everybody. Liam, thank you so much for that reading. Today, we are thinking about trust. We're thinking about faith. And so I'd like to start by showing us two pictures, and I think we can have the first one up on the screen. I'm going to ask some questions, so please call out the answers really loud, even through your face masks. The first question is an easy one. What is this person trusting? Anyone, call it out. The bridge, yes. Now, here's a more difficult question. What reasons can you see in that picture which are good reasons to trust the bridge? We'll do hands up for this one. Henry? Yes, but what are good reasons to trust it? So we're hoping it's not going to snap and they'll go falling down. Can anyone see Connor? It's got strong supports. What are the supports made of? It's got metal supports. Other reasons why you would trust this bridge?
It's there.
Yeah, it's there. It's been there for a while. Yeah. That's right. Let's see on the screen. I've got some other reasons that I found studying it earlier. It's made of metal. It's hanging on two wires, not one. It's got handrails. It's got side barriers, and others have crossed it safely. There are good reasons to trust this bridge. Let's have a look at my second picture. Who is this girl trusting? Yes. The doctor. Now, this one's harder. Can anyone see reasons in this picture why you would trust that doctor? Connor again. She's smiling. I thought of that one. It's quite a good sign. Daniel, can you see one? She looks friendly. Yes. Ellie. Say again. She's been trained, and sometimes in a doctor's office, you see the certificate of their training on the wall. Let's have a look at the reasons I saw up on the screen. Some of them are a bit silly. She's wearing a stethoscope. I would trust someone wearing a stethoscope. She's got an identity badge. She hasn't just snuck in there off the street. But then some more important reasons to trust are her qualifications, her experience, her reputation in the community. There would be good reasons to trust that doctor. Well, today, everyone, we're learning about trust in Jesus. Over the past few months, we've been looking at people who Jesus met in John's Gospel. But today, we're thinking about Jesus and you. We're thinking about the most important question in the whole world, the most important question in life. Do you trust in Jesus? Now, when I ask people if they trust in Jesus, some people say a definite yes, some people say a definite no, but many people say, yes, I do trust in him, but I would love to trust him more. Or other people say, no, I don't think I do trust in him, but you know, I'd really like to. Well, today we're learning about how you can trust in Jesus and how your trust in him can be stronger and more confident. And to help us with this, we're going to look at the last two verses of the reading which Liam gave us from John's Gospel. I'm going to read them off the screen. I've got my own screen at the back, you see there. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. In these words, John, the gospel writer, tells us why he wrote his book. He tells us why he wrote John's gospel. He said Jesus did loads of miracles or signs that his disciples saw, too many to write in any one book. But he has written about these signs because they show that Jesus is the Christ, God's long-promised rescuing king. He's written about these signs because they show that Jesus is the Son of God. He's written about these signs so that you can believe that Jesus is the Son of God. In other words, John is saying he wrote down what he saw Jesus do so that we also can believe in him. Now, I wonder if you remember the miraculous signs that have been written about in John's gospel. We've seen them over the last few weeks, and we're going to try and do a really quick recap of them. Now, some of you have got in your places a big poster with a picture representing one of Jesus's miraculous signs on it. So please have a look around and see if you think you have. There might be some empty seats, in which case you need to cover for the people who haven't made it today. If you've got a poster, see what number is on it, and we're going to bring them up really quickly. Who has got the one with number one written on it? It may be you, Penny. No, it's not. Number one, there, yes. Could you bring that one up, please, Zach? Bring it up real quick, and I want you to prop it up against that little table there. Thank you very much. The first sign, Jesus turned water into wine. Do you remember Jesus was at a wedding? Disaster. They ran out of wine. Jesus turned water into wine. He took them from disaster to celebration. Water into wine. Thank you. Who's got number two? You can go back to your seat. Number two. Yes, please. Bring it on up. Bring it on up. Quick as you can. You know where to put it. The next table along. Which one is this? Ah, yes. Jesus healed the royal official's son. Do you remember? The boy was 30 miles away. He was at death's door. Jesus said, "Your son will live." And at that instant, the boy got better. Jesus just said a word and it happened. Who has got number three? Penny, you have got number three. Thank you. There we go. Now, yes. The third sign. Jesus healed the man who was paralyzed at the pool of Bethesda. For 28 years, I think, the man had been paralyzed. Jesus spoke, "Get up and walk." The muscles in his legs, which had disappeared, were recreated, and he walked. Who could do something like that? Sign number four. Who's got my number four? Have you got it, Daniel? I forget who's got which ones, but it's got four on it. Bring it up, please, sir. Sign four, unless I'm very much mistaken, is the feeding of the 5,000. Yes. Five bread rolls, two small fish. Jesus fed a crowd of 5,000 people plus. And at the end, there was more left over than they started with. Now, who could do something like that? Who has got number five? Caden, I think you've got it. Bring it up, please. Nice and quick. Thank you, young man. Ansia, good girl. Up you come. Number five is the walking on water. Jesus could defy the usual laws of physics and walk on water. Thank you. Who has got number six? Yes, girls, up you come. Thank you. Jesus opened the eyes of the man born blind. He'd never been able to see in all his life. Jesus touched his eyes, and suddenly the light and the beauty of the world came streaming in. Number seven. Who has got number seven? Thank you, Patricio. Really quick. You know where to put it. Now, this is an amazing sign. The raising of Lazarus. Lazarus was in his tomb. He was dead. And Jesus said, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out back to life. Jesus had the power to do what only God could do. And then who has got number eight? Yes, thank you very much. Now, number eight isn't really one of the signs. There are seven signs. It's greater than the signs. Number eight is the resurrection of Jesus himself. Do you remember Jesus said that after he died, he would defeat death and he would come back to life again? And he did. And his disciples saw him and they touched him and they ate with him. Jesus showed that he was who he said he was. Now, John tells us that Jesus recorded these, he recorded these amazing things Jesus did, not just because they're amazing, not just because he wanted to tell an exciting story. No, John recorded what Jesus did so that you can believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. The signs show us who Jesus is. And can I say, ladies and gentlemen, we have every reason to believe what John and the other gospel writers wrote. John and the other disciples saw with their own eyes Jesus doing these signs. The disciples were men of honesty who were committed to truth. And the disciples went on in their lives to suffer greatly for sticking to the truth of what they'd written. Most of the disciples were killed for sticking to the truth. John himself was sent into exile. So if we have our two pictures back up, that person trusted the bridge because they had good reasons to trust it. It was a strong metal bridge. That girl trusted the doctor because she had good reasons to trust her, her qualifications, her experience, her reputation. Well, we can trust in Jesus because of the evidence of the signs he did. The evidence of what Jesus did, written down by John. Trust in Jesus rests on solid foundations. Trust in Jesus rests on good reasons. It rests on firm foundations. The things that Jesus did, that the disciples saw, that John wrote down for us. Now, I know that it can be hard to trust in Jesus. It can be hard because of perhaps the ways that Christians have let us down in the past. It can be hard because of things that have happened to us in our life. It can be hard because we want ourselves to be in charge of our lives and not Jesus. It can be hard just because it's hard to trust someone who we can't see. But John tells us that he wrote his book, John's Gospel, so that you can trust in Jesus. He gives us all that we need to trust in Christ. When we read John's Gospel, we read about Jesus' claims. Although he was the most humble and loving person who ever lived, he claimed again and again to be God on earth. When we read John's Gospel, we read how Jesus transformed people's lives. He made them whole. And most of all, when we read John's Gospel, we read about the signs that Jesus did, the things that only God can do. You see, trust in Jesus, it's not guesswork. It's not a stab in the dark. It rests on the solid foundation of the things that Jesus did, recorded for us by John. Now, we're going to think more about trust in Jesus in a minute. But first of all, back to Kate. Well, we've been looking in part one at John, the gospel writer, telling us there are firm foundations to trust in Jesus. We can trust in Jesus because of the things that the disciples saw Jesus do that John has written down for us. Well, now in talk two, we're not thinking so much about the evidence for trusting in Jesus. We're thinking about why it is so important and why it is so wonderful to trust in Jesus. And I'm going to read our two verses once again. John 20, verses 30 to 31. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Now I need one more volunteer to come up and help me to open this box and to see what's inside and what comes out of trusting in Jesus. Is there someone who would like to come and help me with this? Caden, yes, you can. Come on up, young man. You're an experienced scissor user. Okay, let's go round the back. And Sia, yes, you're welcome to assist. Now, there you go, sir. This is experimental. I'm not sure if it's going to work, okay, everyone. Caden, what I want you to do is to snip this string at the top here to start with, please. That's it. Well done. Good boy. Oh. Okay. Bear with us, everyone. Okay. And give me the scissors. Safety first. Open up the lid, please. Ah. Ooh. Now, they might need a bit of help, some of them. Can you help the others? Now, has it worked? Are they in the... Yes, it has worked. Thank you. Take your seat. I hope they've come up in the right order. Life. L-I-F-E. Life. That is what comes out of trusting in Jesus. John tells us when you trust in Jesus, you have life. Life in his name. But what kind of life does Jesus give those who trust in him? Well, the rest of John's gospel answers that question. So the rest of John's gospel tells us that the life that Jesus gives us is life in friendship with God. Now, this is something that Jesus said in chapter 17 of John's gospel. Jesus said, "Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." The life Jesus gives is life where you know God, where you have friendship with the one who created the universe, where you hear his word in the Bible, where you talk to him in prayer, where you know that God is with you and on your side. It's life in friendship with God. Now, Jesus also said the life that he gives is life at its best. So speaking in chapter 10 of John's gospel, Jesus said, "The thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." There's nothing second best about the life that Jesus gives. It's life as God always intended it to be. Life at its best. And Jesus tells us as well that the life that he gives is life that never ends. Here is Jesus talking in chapter 11 of John's gospel. "He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." The life that Jesus gives, nothing can stop it. Not even death. It goes on and it gets better and better and better. You see, the reason that Jesus came into the world, the reason that Jesus died on the cross, is so that we can have this life. It's our sin, it's our wrongdoing that separates us from friendship with God, who is perfect. Jesus died to pay for our sins so that when we trust in him, we can have this life. If we trust in Jesus, we have life in friendship with God. Now, this is actually a big challenge to us, because it means that if we don't trust in Jesus, we don't really have life. We might be walking, talking, and breathing, but we don't yet have the life that is really life. But this is also a wonderful promise for us, because it tells us that whoever we are, whatever our failings, whatever our fears, whether we're young or old, if we trust in Jesus, then we have life in friendship with God, which is life at its best and life that never ends. You see, John is teaching us today, you can trust in Jesus because of the evidence. And if you trust in Jesus, you have life in friendship with God. You see how the evidence of what Jesus did, the signs, leads to trust in Jesus. And you see how trust in Jesus leads to life in his name. So let me ask as we finish, what about you? Do you trust in Jesus Christ? Now, trusting in Jesus means, first of all, recognizing who he is. Recognizing that he's the Christ, the long-promised rescuing king, that he is the Son of God. And that's what the signs show us. But you know, trusting in Jesus is more than just recognizing who Jesus is. Trusting in Jesus means, second of all, asking him to be our king. Asking him to be in charge of our lives. That's what Thomas, a little earlier in our Bible reading, did. He said to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." Have you asked Jesus to be your Lord and your God? That's what trusting in him means. Well, maybe you say, "Yes, I do trust in Jesus, but you know I find it hard. I have doubts and questions." Well, I want to say that is absolutely normal. It's hard to trust in Jesus in a world where most people don't and when we can't see him. So remember what John the Gospel writer has told us today. Trust in Jesus rests on a firm foundation. The signs that Jesus did, that his disciples saw him do, and that John wrote down for us. Keep trusting in Jesus and give thanks because you have life in his name. Or maybe you say, no, I don't really trust in Jesus. I haven't asked him to be my Lord and my God. Well, I'd like to ask you to look again at the evidence. It's very strong. Read John's Gospel again, the eyewitness account. Come and collect from me one of these. Can we trust what the Gospels say about Jesus, explaining all the reasons why we can? See, nothing could be more important. Life itself is at stake. And then finally, perhaps there's somebody here, young or old, who would like to trust in Jesus for the first time today. Well, if that's you, I'd like to show you this prayer, which we can have on the screen. Now, this is a prayer which you could use to trust in Jesus. Actually, those of us who already trust in Christ, we can use this prayer as well to ask him to keep us going in our faith. So I'm going to pray this prayer now, and if you'd like to join in and make it your prayer, please join me in saying Amen at the end. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you that you showed in your words, your actions, and your love that you are the Christ, the Son of God. Thank you that you died on the cross to pay for my sins. I ask you now to be the Lord and God of my life. Thank you that by trusting in you, I have life in friendship with God. Amen. Well, whether that's your prayer to Jesus for the first time or for the thousandth time, you can be very thankful today. If our trust is in Jesus, we have life. Life in friendship with God, life at its best, life which never ends. Kate, let me hand back to you.